It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to our friend Bruce Levine, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Bruce, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, guys. Great day in Chicago yesterday. Both teams winning big. Where do you want to begin today?
Craig Council smart again.
Boy, Craig Council, man, he was. They were people calling for his head.
18
yesterday.
Runs will do that, though. Bruce.
Yeah, 18 runs, you're a genius.
You know, he got a redo. He got Merriweather and Ray in the game one day late. Even though Ray pitched a third of an inning the day before, you know, if he had to do it over again, Ray would have gone in earlier. But that's just not how the game's played. And you know, you understood that he was out of pitchers, and people are going to continue to look at that. And the bullpen is certainly the key thing beginning the season here. But enjoyable game last night, and Brown getting through five innings was big for him and the team as well.
It's really interesting, I think, when you consider that they played in this minor league ballpark that they, you know, I think, what did you say, David, 12,000 people there. They don't hold more than 15,000 there. Very intimate, and you're coming out of spring training, so you're relatively prepared for that sort of thing. How will that play over the course of the year? How will major leaguers, I mean, you know, Bob Nightingale wrote a story about all the players complaining about having to play in that in Sacktown, as David calls it, and in that kind of stadium. Will that Will that be a theme this year for both minor league teams, right? Because the same thing's going on in Tampa.
Yeah, yeah. George Steinbrenner Field is going to be the home of the Tampa Rays this year. And both ballparks, you know, one holds 12, I think the other 11. The interesting thing about the A's situation is they only averaged 11,000 people last year in their last year in Oakland. So from that perspective, I think they're probably going to sell out most of the games there at 12,000. Economically, as far as attendance goes, you know, you're losing nothing there, and it's kind of an interesting thing. I'm not so sure that Bob's right about going in there for a three-game series, right? Maybe in their division they play seven. You know, you come in as a visitor. I think it's kind of fun and unique, and the players always talked about going to Williamsport and playing the, you know, at that game every year at the Little League World Series. So from that perspective, you know, I think they can man up and handle a few ball games in Sacramento.
Well, Carson Kelly certainly is in favor of that. He likes playing in that park. Bruce, he hits for the cycle. First time since 1993 a Cubs player did that. Did you know that he was from the Chicagoland area, born in here before they moved out to Oregon? His parents are Chicagoans. And also, it's more pertinent to this season, how do you expect them to split time between him and Miguel Amaya? I know the spring training plan was one thing, but both guys are coming in hot and off to good starts.
Well, I think Council told me, you know, before I left spring training that, you know, when I asked him about it, he said, we're going to split it. You know, we're going to, both guys can hit. We can keep them fresh. Kelly throws a little bit better than Amaya. So that's an interesting aspect of when you're playing certain teams that run a little bit better. Amaya's arm has improved significantly over the last couple of years. He had a great arm before he had a couple of surgeries in the minor leagues, so he's come all the way back. But offensively, you know, I was on Marquee with Cliff Floyd and the other day talking about the fact that I think the Cubs' catchers can hit 20 to 25 home runs, driving 70 to 80 runs. I think they have that kind of power. And, you know, Amaya driving in 5 runs the other day and sitting on the bench the next, that's a part of baseball 2025 for sure, where the hot hand doesn't always get to catch the next day or play the next day. It's all about metrics and the matchups for that particular day.
So, Bruce, we've talked before about the White Sox pitching, and here they are off to a remarkable start with every one of their first 4 starters going 5 innings plus and not allowing an earned run. And yesterday, Martin Perez doesn't allow a hit in 6 innings and had just a phenomenal showing. They mentioned on the broadcast, I think Stoney mentioned that Brian Bashnagel noticed when he was Bannister. My God,
they're both very good receivers.
I'm covering the Cubs. They noticed that he was more comfortable when his hands were at his waist as opposed to when he started with the ball kind of on his chest. So they made an adjustment there just from breaking down tape, and certainly he looked awful comfortable yesterday. Is he the guy that has kind of got the magic sauce with the pitching? Is he the guy? Clearly someone up there knows what the hell they're doing with pitching. And you look at the way they've opened the season, and you got to imagine that maybe, you know, Bannister is the guy that has figured out some things with this group. And, you know, man, they're 2-2. That's hard to believe given the way they started last year.
Well, you know, you have to give Ethan Katz some credit, too. He's been the pitching coach through good and bad over the last 4 or 5 years. And Katz and Bannister go back to San Francisco together in similar roles. So they have a long history over the last 4 or 5 years working together. And you talk to people in the game, and they tell you Bannister's one of the smartest pitching people in the game. They've known it for a long time before he came to Chicago. One of the reasons that Getz identified him and brought him in. So David and I had a great time talking to Bannister on Saturday, and he's a pretty bright guy.
He is, and he's got a lot to be happy about so far. Shane Smith goes to the mound tonight for the White Sox, the Rule 5 guy. He's got a lot of expectations to meet based on the first four starts of the season. Bruce, I think that when you look at what happened yesterday and you just got that kind of start and you get the kind of consistency from your rotation, I mean, how much of a surprise, how sustainable is this? Because you look at nobody really expected this from these guys. When you talk about the Sox pitchers, it's double A you're looking for, and then all of a sudden Martin Perez goes six innings, doesn't give up a hit, and doesn't top 90
right.
on velocity.
You know, I'm talking to Venable, you know, yesterday, and I said, we know momentum is only as good as the next day's pitcher, but how about the feel-good part of your guys being successful early on, regardless of who the opponent is? And, you know, Minnesota's off to a horrible start here. A lot of their key players, you know, still hurt. And the Angels aren't very good. That said, you know, the White Sox have played very clean baseball defensively, you know, a couple of errors here and there. But the reality is that good defense, they've had good pitching. And this type of momentum and feel good for young pitchers, I think it's really important. I don't think it takes them through a whole season and makes them into an 80-win team. But, you know, the reality that these are young guys and they're feeling good about themselves in their first experience in the major leagues. And, you know, you talk about Smith, it'll be his first start, you know, in the big leagues. So I think you enjoy it while you can. And the one thing that stands out to me is the leadership of Venable. Okay, and I know we've talked about it before. He just seems like the right guy for this job. Again, I'm not saying that the White Sox won't lose 90-plus games. They probably will. But the reality of having a right guy there for player development, understanding what it's going to take and how to use people. I was totally impressed yesterday. In the second inning, they have a 3-run lead, right? And he calls for a bunt, okay, which is not, it's not great baseball, you know, statistically. It's not a great baseball play. But, you know, they're thinking on a cold day, you know, not going to score a lot of runs to try to get the bunt down. The bunt fails. The guy's thrown out at third base. The very next play, Venable calls for a double steal. So he doubles down on getting those players over. They score. It changes the game and the momentum right away. So when you look at a little subtle things like what Venable is going to do and how he's keeping his team alert and ready to play, a bunt one play, double steal the next, it's pretty good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
I'm curious, Bruce, when you look at kind of the overall, the general kind of feeling in baseball, this torpedo bat thing has obviously taken on a lot of a lot of importance, and a lot of people feel that the Yankees have an unfair advantage. It's available to everybody. The other element is Milwaukee gave up 10 runs yesterday. I don't think it was to Torpedo bats. So are the Brewers just not as good as anticipated, or are they taking a step back as anticipated?
They've given up 57 runs in four games. Okay.
Is that a lot?
That's not good.
Even with my public school math from South Shore High School, I can figure out it's a 14-plus runs a game. It's not good. It's not good. Again, it's just the beginning of the year. But, torpedo bats are not. A lot of bullpens aren't ready right now. Some starters aren't ready right now. So even though it's the regular season and spring training's over, we're still seeing some spring training results. That Cub game yesterday was a spring training game, right? You're looking at the Oakland pitching staff not being very good. The Cubs taking advantage of all that and putting up 21 hits and scoring 18 runs. So, you know, it's an early part of the season. You don't get really crazy about it. But, the idea that the Cubs' bullpen was under the gun in the first six games of the year, I think that's something that we do every year, you know, with the NFL philosophy of if they don't do this right now, you know, the White Sox are going to have a better record than the Cubs. Okay, you know. I'm not sure about that, right?
Right. I'm still kind of fascinated by this torpedo bat thing, though, because you look at a guy like Dansby Swanson, who watched last night, and I'm like, oh my gosh, he homered again. I wonder what bat he's using. And I see in the Tribune, he was using his new torpedo bat. And he homered on back-to-back days.
Does it count?
And it does count, okay. Because it's legal, Bruce. It's not breaking a rule, and you wonder what effect is it going to have? Is it going to be just a fad? Is it psychological? Is it real? Where are you on the use of the torpedo bat, and how much of a fad do you think it will be? Or will it be something that is going to be here to stay?
It's a good question. I think the one thing you look at is, was Giancarlo Stanton of the Yankees using that bat when he hurt both elbows, okay? He came up with two elbow injuries, one to each arm, as a part of the same going on the IL. Was he using this bat, and was the distribution of the weight on the bat impactful in the way he swung, the length of his arms, okay, the swing that he took? It's all, you know, geometrics. It's all about, you know, the individual. It's not necessarily about the length of the bat. It's about how the bat is being used. And what is that player doing with it? So from that perspective, we need a longer look at this as to whether or not everybody's going to the bat itself. I think, you know, you look at Aaron Judge, he's not using it, right? He doesn't seem to be having any problems hitting balls out of the ballpark.
Yes and no, but I understand that's the obvious example to point to, but he is the exception to the rule. He's a gigantic man. And he is one of the most prodigious power hitters
exactly.
of this generation.
You know,
he doesn't need that bat. Other people might.
You know, David, exactly to my point. It could be about a shortened bat with the barrel mostly in the middle of the bat. You know, the girth of the bat bigger in the middle. And the length of the guy's arms in his swing, okay? It could be as much that as anything else. Getting to the ball and getting the sweet part of the bat, whether it's in the middle or at the end, on the ball. So for some people it might work, for others probably not necessary. It's going to be fun to watch.
I'm just curious, what is your takeaway from the Jake Eater deal? The fact that you trade, I'm just saying, you got cash considerations for a guy that cost you Jake Berger, and that led to, you know, kind of the dispute as to who do you deal with the White Sox? Are these two guys on the same page? And next thing you know, it ends up being the last trade for Kenny and Rick, or one or the other, or both of them.
Yeah, I mean, look, they haven't made all great trades, and some of Getz's trades are still being looked at and analyzed right now. But moving forward, I think the White Sox have some formula of a good rotation going right now. The bullpen is still developing. We haven't had to look at it very much because the starting pitching has been so good. So let's see how it shakes out. I mean, again, that might not have been the best trade in the world, but the next trade they make has to be, and that would be the Robert deal. Whether that happens sooner rather than later, I keep hearing rumblings that even though it's still only April 1st right now, that teams might be willing to make bigger trade, add in that third young player that the White Sox are looking for to get Luis Robert. So let's keep our eye on that.
Bruce, I don't know if what bat he's using, but Andrew Benintendi seems to be off to a very good start. Do you have any explanation for that, and is that sustainable?
Well, I think it is. I'm not saying he's going to be an all-star, but he's a much better player than we've seen over the last few years. You know, injury had a lot to do with it. And if you look at his last month of 2024, it was pretty good. I mean, the guy ended up with 20 home runs. He had one of the most horrendous beginnings to the year that you can imagine, to the point where he was either benched or benching himself because his swing was so bad. And, you know, I think changing from, the big step out to a toe tap has helped him balance himself and get back to being the good hitter that he was. He's not a great player, but he's a good player. And he was an outstanding outfielder and a good hitter. Kenny and Rick weren't way off when they made that deal to sign him to the biggest contract in White Sox history, 15 or 16 million dollars a year, or something like that.
Yeah, they were pretty way off.
Yeah, pretty.
But let's see. Yeah, he can be a really big asset to him right now. And the Vaughn swing yesterday was huge for me. I think that him getting straight out and pulling the ball, which is something, seeing a lot of right center in his career, pulling the ball with authority like that, I think that's a good sign.
Quickly, Bruce, before I let you go, what was your reaction to Garrett Crochet signing 6 years, $170 million contract with the Red Sox?
What a country, you know. I mean, it's a smart move for him. You know, the reality is, he's pitched one season, right, as a starter. He's making that money. Good for Boston. It's obviously something the Chicago White Sox weren't or aren't able to do at this point in time. It's too bad. I'm sure a lot of White Sox fans wish it was with the Chicago White Sox, but that's certainly not the case. And I think Crochet's got a chance to be a really great pitcher if he can stay healthy.
Great stuff, Bruce. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Bruce.
Guys, have a great day.
You too.
That was a bad signing, Benintendi.
Benintendi?
Well, you can't really get rid of him now, right?
His contract would make that somewhat
I'm saying,
hard to
you know, we're talking
project.
About how quickly they can trade
Luis Robert Jr.
Luis Robert Jr. No one's mentioned a trade for him.
Well, because the affordability is a different and plus the ceiling is higher for Luis Robert
for Luis
Jr.
Robert
yeah.
Jr.
With Benintendi, you're just hoping to get something out of him this season that you haven't gotten previously, because before that it wasn't a great signing.
They were pretty far from successful on that one, honestly.
Why did you bring up Jake Eater?
I think it's worth talking about. One guy's named Berger, the other guy named Eater.
Remember they had
the big winner.
They had Jace Fry?
Yeah, they had Fry was on it. Yeah, they had
Berger, Eater, and Fry.
And Colas.
Yeah, that went flat in a hurry.
How did that go? Yeah, that another guy. We haven't even spent any time talking about the Cuban Otani. All right, we got to keep going. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haun, The Score.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.